You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Hi, I'm Martin Indyk, the director of the Foreign Policy Program here at the Brookings Institution. We're here in the studio today to discuss President Obama's upcoming visit to Israel with two of my colleagues from the Saban Center at Brookings, Natan Sachs, who is a fellow specializing in Israeli politics. Good morning, Natan.
Good morning, Martin.
And Khaled Al-Gindi, who is a fellow in the Saban Center who specializes in Palestinian politics. Good morning, Khaled.
Good morning, Martin.
First question really relates to the fact that the president hasn't been to this Arab-Israeli, Israeli-Palestinian heartland in 4 years. It's become kind of a political issue at home. So what are the expectations in Israel and Palestine for his visit after being away for so long?
Well, I think on the Palestinian side, depending on who you talk to, as far as the leadership is concerned, I think expectations are very high. This is, I think, the announcement that Obama was coming was music to Mahmoud Abbas's ears. They've been trying to get the U.S. re-engaged in generating some sort of progress because the situation on the ground is becoming increasingly difficult for the Palestinian leadership. On the other hand, expectations on the Palestinian street, I think, are exceedingly low. And there are reports that there may be protests. There are reports that I think the general Palestinian public has become so tired of what they see as a charade called the peace process.
Natan, in Israel?
On the Israeli side, expectations are very high in terms of the excitement. People are talking about this visit constantly, and it's affected the mood and the time frame even of domestic politics in Israel. But expectations are mostly on the side of public diplomacy. People are not waiting for the visit to hear some grand new proposals by the president. And in fact, the leaders would probably prefer not to hear any grand new proposals from the president. They're very much eager to set aside what seemed to be a discord between the president and the prime minister and sort of start a new relationship in the second term. So the expectations are very high, but very much on the side of public diplomacy and atmosphere more than specific substance.
Speaking as a former diplomat, I would have preferred that the sequence was different, that this new Secretary of State, John Kerry, would have gone out after the government of Israel had been formed. That's just happened now, a few days before Obama actually turns up, that the Kerry would have gone first and that he would have kind of laid the ground, perhaps gotten some agreement on a framework for negotiations, and then Obama would come later in the year to bring the two leaders, Abu Mazen and Bibi Netanyahu, together to start a new negotiation. Then there would be some deliverable from his visit. But the White House is saying exactly the opposite. They don't want to raise any expectations. The president himself has said this is not about an effort to restart the peace process. And in background, they're saying, you know, essentially, if he can buy some space for the leaders to be able to engage, that will be the thing that he hopes to achieve on this trip. So in a sense, I think the purpose in the White House is to reintroduce himself, at least to the Israelis, and certainly to the Palestinians for the first time, in a way that could perhaps generate some momentum further on down the road. Is that going to fly? Is that going to have any impact? Khaled?
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. If there was an intention to put forward some sort of initiative or move this process forward, I think it would have happened the way you laid it out. But as you said, they've gone out of their way to tamp down expectations. I'm not sure that they'll succeed in terms of tamping down expectations. I think on the Palestinian side, this is the only thing that they have going on that's positive. And for the Palestinians, it's important because they expect, I think coming on the heels of the Israeli announcement of a new Israeli government, I think is important for the Palestinians because the expectation has always been that the U.S. would deliver Israel in some form or another. And so there is still that expectation.
A new government's formed in Israel. What can we expect it to do, particularly when it comes to this issue of resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Natan?
Well, my answer is always ambiguous to this. On the one hand, the bottom line is continuity. The prime minister is the same, and Netanyahu in charge of the prime minister's office. He's a very long-serving prime minister in Israeli terms, the second longest. By and large, we're going to see continuity. But the government is very different. The coalition is very different. It's, in fact, quite unusual for Israel. It's very rare that the ultra-Orthodox are not in the government, and instead of them, we have the far-right Jewish Home inside, together with the center, with Netanyahu in between them. And the result is stability on domestic issues, or I wouldn't say stability, but an ability to move forward quite rapidly on an agreed-upon domestic agenda. But the other side of that is that the tension on foreign policy might be more severe. So the coalition we have now, the main figures are going to be quite different. Defense minister is new, Ya'alon. The foreign minister will probably remain the same eventually, Lieberman. And the center parties will take a more domestic agenda. The real tension, to my mind, is actually not within the coalition. It's between the right wing, Naftali Bennett, and John Kerry, the Secretary of State. The question is whether the United States is going to push forward on anything there down the road, and how the coalition can hold together given external movement. And this depends, of course, on what happens on the Palestinian side, and very much what happens in the United States between the White House, between the Department of State, etc.
So, Khaled, what's going to happen on the Palestinian side? What's the dynamic there? We hear a lot of talk about reconciliation, but there doesn't seem to be much movement in that direction.
That's true. I think there's a sense on the Palestinian side, at least as far as the leadership in Ramallah is concerned, that reconciliation comes at the cost of a peace process and vice versa. There is a bit of a zero-sum proposition there. And I think there was, you know, reconciliation talks had been progressing, had made, you know, some progress recently, but then had sort of stalled just before, in the weeks leading up to Obama's trip. And I think there is a view that maybe Mahmoud Abbas and his leadership sort of pulled back because they want to keep prospects for even a low probability peace process open. So I think we're going to see this dance continue between inching towards a peace process and inching towards reconciliation, but without making progress really towards either.
And essentially waiting to see what the United States produces, if anything. One of the interesting elements in this mix is that while you have a president who I think is much more concerned about developing his pivot to Asia and is essentially in the mode of turning his back on the Middle East and basically going and doing this trip so he can say he did it, I think Secretary Kerry has a very different attitude. He seems to want to make the peacemaking between Israelis and Palestinians his priority. And so one of the things I'm going to be watching for on this visit is whether the president publicly empowers Kerry and makes it clear to Israelis and Palestinians alike that he has given the secretary the mandate, but he will be with him all the way and backing him up. And I think that, I don't know whether you agree with this, but I think that both the Israelis and Palestinian leadership will be looking to see whether Kerry has the backing of the president, because that's the only way in which he can possibly succeed given the very difficult circumstances that he's going to be dealing with. Natan, what would you recommend to the Secretary of State, assuming he gets that mandate from the president? What should he do in this environment with this new government in Israel?
Well, he's in a bind. On the one hand, he definitely wants to move forward, or it seems like he wants to move forward, and he has the cachet. He has a name recognition for his Senate years and also his candidacy for presidency, and so he can push it forward in some respects. But there's a paradox here. The Israelis know this is coming, and Netanyahu has even probably granted the Minister of Justice, former Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni, the lead on the Palestinian issue, at least to a certain degree. All this in preparation for what will look like a peace process or a resumption of it, and an attempt to gain points in the international arena. Should we remember that Ehud Barak, the defense minister, is leaving office, and so some of the more moderate face, or supposedly moderate face, on Palestinian issue is being lost, and Livni might fill those shoes. But the flip side is what Khaled mentioned, and I wonder how it will appear there. Everything that looks to the Israelis as the appearance of a peace process to get the Americans off their back is exactly what seems to be the worst case scenario for the Palestinian street, allergic to this kind of facade. And so Kerry's task will be to try and break that, to create something that is not just the appearance of a peace process, but actually talks to the substance. If I were advising the secretary, and I'm not, it would be to avoid the more grandiose public elements of the peace process at present. They will have to come at some point, but at this point they're not in
grandiose in meaning negotiations.
Meaning public conferences of negotiations and grand public statements, but not to fall back on what some suggest, which is basically passivity. On the contrary, he needs to be very vigorous about this, but it needs to be quieter, it needs to be at high level, it needs to be very substantive and serious. And so at the same time, it needs to be humble in the public statements, in what we're achieving right now, and at the same time, very vigorous, very serious about negotiations in closed room. There's always, every time Netanyahu has a new government, this is the third time, there's talk that this time, in fact, he sees the light and now he is going to behave differently. And the same on the Palestinian side. Everything, there's some kind of change. The Israelis wonder, is this now the opening? I don't know the answer to that, of course, but it is very worth checking, always, because the issue is so important and the stakes are so high. The secretary needs to do that, but to my mind, he needs to be a bit more like Henry Kissinger, one of his predecessors, pushing forward quietly in, or not that quietly, but more at the high level rather than a new Madrid conference or a new Oslo ceremony or anything of that level at this point.
Khaled, what would you advise the secretary to do?
I have a question actually for Natan. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that convincingly or semi-convincingly when you have a party in the new Israeli coalition that is doctrinally opposed to a two-state solution? It seems to me
you're
that
talking about the Jewish Home Party of Naftali Bennett.
Bennett's party, right. Mm-hmm. And he's been very explicit on where he stands on a two-state solution, and he's not for it. And how do you move, even project the optics of progress while maintaining that government intact? I think it's virtually impossible.
Well, I could add to that question, which is that you also have within the Likud itself a shift to the right. And stronger opposition within the Likud membership of the parliament, the Knesset, opposition to a two-state solution. And of course, you've got Lieberman, the foreign minister in waiting, who's made it clear that he doesn't think there's any point in even trying to achieve a two-state solution.
And it hasn't been a priority for them.
You've got Tzipi Livni with her six seats, given responsibility for the peace process, but can anything actually happen here?
Well, the way you put it, Khaled, is can you have a serious peace process and maintain the coalition? And the good news is that that's jobs for different people. Secretary Kerry doesn't need to worry about the Israeli coalition. And I don't mean to imply by this that he needs to try and break up the coalition, but he needs to proceed with American interests and speak to the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister of Israel about these interests. I am skeptical about whether this coalition can withstand a serious peace process, very skeptical. And in fact, most in Israel would expect, that's what I meant earlier when I said, the real tension is between Bennett from the far right and John Kerry, in a sense, who shouldn't really be a player in Israeli politics. I don't know if the coalition will withstand this, but this needs to be outside of the American consideration, at least in terms of how it behaves. It needs to deal with Netanyahu, and it needs to push forward on American interests. Netanyahu has other options, and it should be noted Netanyahu did not want this coalition, partly because of relations with the United States and the Palestinians. He preferred a government probably with the right wing, with the extreme right wing outside of the government and with the ultra-Orthodox still in. He couldn't do it for a variety of reasons, mostly an alliance between the extreme right and the center. Can they move forward? I don't know. Israel could have a new coalition. It could also have new elections before Obama's term is over. And the conditions then may be quite different within the Israeli political arena. Netanyahu is not the prohibitive front runner. If there are new elections, and especially if new figures emerge on the center that can have the center coalesce around them, perhaps some of the actors we see today, maybe others that will come back in.
I think one of the things that Obama will clearly do when he's there is speak to the Israeli public and the Palestinian public. He makes good speeches. Since he's not really trying to achieve anything else, that's the heart of what he's going to be doing there, other than kind of visiting various places. So what should his message be to the Palestinian public, Khaled, and to the Israeli public, Natan?
Well, I'm not sure that he can craft a message that would actually satisfy the Palestinian public. I think he can say certain things, he can check off certain boxes that will send signals to the Palestinian leadership in Ramallah. But I'm not sure that the political traffic could actually bear what the Palestinian public actually wants, which is an acknowledgement of the legitimacy of their struggle, an acknowledgement of Palestinian rights, the right to statehood. I think we're likely to hear something more along the lines of a peaceful, negotiated two-state solution is still possible. So in other words, a much more minimalist kind of a message, which might be enough for the Palestinian leadership, but I don't think it would be enough for the Palestinian public. And he's going to have the challenge of balancing that with what he has to tell the Israeli public.
Yeah, which is what, Natan? And we're going to have to close up now.
Well, I agree completely that the heart of this visit is a talk at a convention center in Jerusalem called Binyanei Umma. It's going to speak mostly to students. And this seems to be the crowning jewel of this visit, is an attempt to speak directly to the Israeli public. To my mind, he needs to make the case that his balance sheet, in fact, speaks for itself. He is a very close ally of Israel. This is not to say he's necessarily hostile to Palestinians or anyone else, but he is a very close ally of Israel. And he has a deficit of trust and sympathy from the Israeli public, and he's going to try and bridge that gap. Now, he's very good, of course, as an orator, and he will try to impress upon the Israelis this exactly. The biggest achievement he can do in this realm is to gain trust of Israelis that he has their back, one, and two, that he doesn't bluff as president. What I mean by this, both things that the president himself said last year. One is that he has their back, therefore they should not behave rashly, in a rash manner, on a variety of different things, and most importantly on Iran. And to do that, they have to believe that he doesn't bluff. When he says prevention is the goal on the Iranian nuclear program, he means it. If he could convince the Israelis, or to the degree that he convinced the Israelis of these two things, this is in fact a big success to a certain degree. But he has to do this while still maintaining the Palestinian issue in line and not antagonizing the Palestinian street at the same time, and this is not easy.
Well, we'll be watching to see how he does it, and thank you for listening and watching this discussion from the Brookings Institution.